School, that's fine. If you take your Bibles this morning, we're going to go ahead into Sunday school lesson, the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, book of Genesis. We can continue on here with our study in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6, looking at Noah this morning by the Lord. Genesis chapter 6. Get my stuff together here. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 6. All right. If you look at verse number 8, Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8, the Bible says here, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6, 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. And with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Look at verse 22 now. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house in the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Let's pray one more time. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, I pray just lead God and direct now, dear God. Clear my thoughts. Father, help me to say exactly what you'd have me to say, no more, no less. So just lead, guide, and direct, we ask, Lord, in this Sunday school hour, and we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm thankful this morning that I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm thankful this morning for God's grace towards me as being Chris Weldon. There's a lot of times, I'd say majority of my time, 99% of the time, I'm amazed that God shows me grace. Why? Brethren, think about this morning. Why would a holy God and a righteous God desire to show us grace when we do anything but to deserve the grace of God? We consistently in our flesh go contrary to what God desires in doing what we want to do, yet God shows grace. The word grace means divine grace. It means is the free and undeserved love and favor of God towards man as a sinner, as exhibited in the plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. You see, it is only by the free grace of God that we embrace the offers of mercy and appropriate to ourselves the blessings graciously purchased by redeeming blood. Grace can also mean kindness. We find here that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Take your Bible and look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 2 And I want you to look at verse number 1. Now, as we look through here with the story of Noah, I, as the Lord leads and directs, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the ark. I'm not going to spend time on how God brought the animals to him. I'm not going to spend time on the dimensions of the ark or the particulars of the ark and the animals. What I think the Lord's laid upon my heart as we look through the story of Noah is to look at Noah as the man. And why and how did God, or how did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? What was Noah doing to where God looked down on his creation that is at such a point that God's saying, I'm getting ready to destroy everything. Everything. Violence has corrupted the world. God looks down and God says, I'm done with everything and everybody except for one man. So what was it about this man that God saw in Noah to where God says, I'm going to spare Noah. Not only am I going to spare him, but I'm going to reveal one man how to be saved from the wrath that's going to occur on this planet. Brethren, we've got to put these things in perspective. Sometimes I think Christians, we get caught up with the ark and we get caught up with creation. Brethren, the world's a mess at this point right here. The world is in a complete mess. And as we go through this, we find ourselves, as I said before in previous studies, we're there ourselves right now. Because Jesus says, as it were in the days of Noe and Lot. And I think we're right there on the precipice. So listen, brethren, and don't just read your Bible, read your Bible. You find one man that's doing what to do when God spares him. One. One man. Brethren, that should put a little bit of fear of God in you. That should put a little fear in there. Because I think a lot of people today think, well, I'm just good. I'm all right with God. Everything's fine with me with God. Is it? Is it okay with you and God? See, we can say all the right words, we can do all the right things, but God knoweth the heart. And God sees the heart, and God knows the motives of why we do what we do. And God takes account of that. And so as we look at Noah here, we find that he finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, or 2, I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So Paul's telling the brethren here, he says, listen, you, Jesus Christ, he's quickened you. He's transformed you from death to life, from being dead in your trespasses and sins, into a new life now to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Paul's saying, listen, you have the Satan. He now is that spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. And Paul says, you once had your conversation there. You once lived a life of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. But now that you're saved, you ought to be living your life for the Lord. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Take your Bible, flip over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And as he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, God gave him some commands. I believe Noah, I believe we can show from the scriptures that Noah desired to walk with God. Noah desired to live for God. And Noah desired to walk in the light that God showed him. Look at Titus chapter 2. And I want you to look at verse number 11. Titus 2:11, familiar verse. Memorize these verses. Try to memorize these verses. Titus chapter 2. And look at verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And look what about and purifying himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I'm asking you this morning, Noah, when God gave him the commands, Noah began to work. Noah began to build that ark. Noah began to prepare over the next 100 and some years to do what God desired for him to do. Why? Because he was looking for that deliverance that God was providing for him, and he built that ark. Morning. Are you looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you wake up every morning and think that this could be the day that Jesus Christ comes back and takes us home to heaven? Think about that for a moment. We might not make it to the end of today. Today could be the day that Jesus Christ comes back and takes us home. And as Christians, as believers in the Word of God and in Jesus Christ, we ought to wake up every morning with the anticipation that today could be the day that Christ calls us home to be with him for eternity. The Bible says, looking for the blessed hope. Are you looking for the glorious appearing of your great God, your Savior, Jesus Christ? Look at chapter 3 of Titus, verse number 4. Titus 3, verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you this question this morning. Have you been regenerated? He says here, Paul tells Titus, he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. We cannot work our way into heaven. We can't do anything to merit heaven. There's no righteousness that we have of ourselves to deserve God's mercy and grace. No, the Bible goes on to say, but according to his mercy, he saved us. God shows mercy, God shows grace, and he showed it to Noah. And he shows it to us today by Jesus Christ, by the washing of regeneration. That word regeneration means this. It means new birth by the grace of God. Have you been regenerated by the grace of God? Have you experienced the new birth? Regeneration also means that change by which the will and natural enmity of man to God and his laws are subdued, and a principle of supreme love to God and his laws or holy affections are implanted in the heart. Brethren, when a new birth occurs, when the washing of regeneration occurs by God's mercy, he showed upon us by shedding his blood on that cross 2,000 years ago. When we place our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and his blood makes an atonement for our sins, and our sins are washed away, and we're now made the righteousness of God, we're born again, we're converted, we're regenerated. That definition says then what should be implanted is a holy love to God and a desire to want to serve him and please him. Those that claim to know Christ but yet have no desire to draw closer to him, I have to scratch my head. One that is regenerated, The very definition of the word says that there's a principle of supreme love and of God and his laws and a holy affection implanted within the heart. I want to love him because he first loved me. That is regeneration. True biblical Christianity, true regeneration, someone who's been born again and converted ought to have a love and a desire to serve God. It ought to be there, brethren. It ought to be there in the heart. All right, so let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. And let's look at verse number 9. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Like I said, I want to kind of look at this man, Noah. The Bible gives us some words that describe Noah. So I'd like to try to break these things down a little bit and maybe with God's help get in and see the character of who Noah was. Who was this man Noah? What was it about Noah that God looked down from heaven and God says, you know what, I'm going to wipe this slate clean, but I've seen one man that I'm willing to spare. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now look at verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Look what it says, the first thing about him now. Now Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And the Bible says, and Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. As I've already stated, he found grace. But we also find here in verse number 9, the first thing that the Lord lists here with Noah, it says that Noah was a just man. He was a just man. That word just means, sense, it means that he was upright. It means that Noah was honest. Noah had the principles of rectitude, or he had conformity to the laws and principles that God dictated. You see, in an evangelical sense, he was righteous. He was religious. He was influenced by a regard to the laws of God, and he desired a revelation that Noah had received from all the way back to Adam, and what had come forward from Adam up to Noah. Noah took those principles, Noah took those laws, Noah took those commands, Father what about God, and Noah willingly implemented them in his life. Now, research on it or looking into it, his granddaddy had contact with Adam, or could have possibly had contact with Adam. So Noah could have talked, Noah was born after Adam had died. But Noah could have spoken to his grandfather, and his grandfather could have spoken to Adam. I bring that up to say that Noah could have spoke to someone in his day that could have talked with Adam. So Noah had a direct line almost all the way back to what happened there in the very Garden of Eden. So Noah knew what occurred. And Noah heard those stories. Noah sees what's going on in this world. And Noah says, I'm determined to serve God. I'm determined to do what God commands. I'm determined to do what's just right to do. He was a just man. In that definition of just, of the word, having principles of rectitude. Now, I'm not a very smart man, and rectitude's a pretty big word for me. So I looked it up in the dictionary. Rectitude means this: in morality, righteousness of principles or practice, uprightness of mind. Listen to this definition of rectitude. Now, rectitude represents a just man. Conformity to truth or the rules prescribed by moral conduct, either by divine or human laws. Rectitude of mind is the disposition to act in conformity to any known standard of right, truth, or justice. Perfect rectitude belongs only to the supreme being, which is Jesus Christ, which is God. Listen to this part of the definition. The more nearly the rectitude of men approaches to the standard of the divine law, the more exalted and dignified is their character. want or lack of rectitude is not only sinful, but debasing. Rectitude is this, brethren. If you want to live just before God, you'll have in your heart what God reveals to you through His scriptures. You'll desire to implement it in your life. And as you implement what God teaches and shows you from His holy scriptures, you will then be conformed and made into a just individual. Now, I know we're justified by the blood of Christ. I'm talking about our daily walk, that we walk as just men and women before our God. Now, a just person. What makes up a just person? Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 20. This is part of Noah's character. Noah was a just man. Noah lived to the principles, or according to the principles of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, and look at verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 20, and look at verse number 7. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The Bible says here. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 says this: the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. So we find that a just person will be a person of integrity. Integrity means incorruptness, uprightness, honest, complete. Charles Spurgeon says this about integrity. He says, nothing reflects so much honor on a workman as a trial of his work and in its endurance. So it is with God. It honors him when his saints persevere their integrity, preserve their integrity. Spurgeon said this. He says, you lose your strength, Christian, the moment you depart from your integrity. The Bible says here, a just man walketh in his integrity. Are you honest this morning? Are you honest in all areas of your life? Are you a man or a woman of integrity? Not just when we're in church, brethren, but are you a man or a woman of integrity when nobody's watching? When nobody sees what's going on? Are you an individual? Are you a believer that is a believer of integrity? Do you have moral soundness and purity in your life? Are you striving to live honestly with those that are around you? Another thing about a just man is that they're delivered through knowledge. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 11. How did Noah find deliverance? Why would God choose Noah to deliver him? Because I believe Noah desired to walk in knowledge. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. But look at this next part. But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. We find in Genesis chapter 6 that Noah is delivered from the wrath of God that's getting ready to get poured out upon this planet. That waters were going to come, this flood was going to occur, God was going to wipe out the whole world with this worldwide flood. How did Noah, a just man, find deliverance? Well, I believe the Bible shows here in Proverbs chapter 11 verse 9 an hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. You know how individuals can find deliverance from the wrath that's about here soon upon this planet, or deliverance from the destruction of hell and the lake of fire? Through knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Now, how does one gain knowledge, though? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A lot of people won't come to deliverance because they won't get there to where they'll have a proper fear of God. You know, what's missing today, I think, in some of our evangelistic efforts in trying to win souls to Lord Jesus Christ is that people don't see that they're sick. We put the cart before the horse. We talk about the love of God before we talk about the wrath of God. You know, if an individual is lost, they abide under the wrath of God. And an individual ought to fear God. And they ought to realize that their sin has separated from God. And if they don't get that sin taken care of, the wrath of God abides them. And there's a lack of fear of God. in people's lives. But through knowledge shall a just man be delivered. Another thing about a just man is a just man is teachable, and a just man will increase in learning. Flip over to chapter 9 of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9. Now, we're trying to apply this to Noah, because the Bible says he was a just man. Proverbs 9, 9. Look what the Bible says here. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, look what the Bible says, and he will increase in learning. You know one thing I believe about Noah? I believe Noah was a teachable man. Noah was a teachable man. I believe Noah was a wise man and that you could give him instruction. Noah would sit there. I believe Noah was a man that was teachable. I believe listen to his fathers, his grandfathers, his great-grandfathers, great-great-great-grandfathers, the godly line that came out from there, from the came down through there. I believe Noah took instruction. Noah was a teachable man, and I believe because he was teachable, he therefore found deliverance. You see, you won't find deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ unless you're willing to be teachable. Pride I abase. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not teach those that are lifted up with pride. Those that are lifted up with pride and arrogancy and self-will, you're going nowhere with the Lord. And the Lord, you're going to stay stagnant in your walk with God if you're prideful and lifted up. Noah had a humble attitude, and Noah was, I believe, a wise man, and he increased in learning, which gave him the ability to find deliverance from the Lord. Take your Bible and look at Proverbs chapter 3. If we want blessings in our life, spiritual blessings in our life, look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck, write them upon the table. I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. But look at this next thing. But he blesseth the habitation of the just. I believe God blessed Noah because he desired to dwell with God. He blesseth the habitation of the just. Go over to chapter 10, verse 6. Chapter 10, verse 6. Look who the blessings are upon the head of. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 6. Blessings are upon the head of the just. You want God's blessings in your life? Be a just individual. Do the right things. Take your Bible. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 now. I talked about our paths being enlightened and given direction from God. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible says here, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. I'll put this morning. If you're looking for direction in your life, if you're asking God to show you maybe what you should do or maybe what you shouldn't do, should you go here, shouldn't you go there? You're looking for direction in your life. There's going to come times in our Christian walk to where we're really not going to do. I think, Brother Brian, you're talking about sometimes when you're looking for a new job or you're looking to make a change, or you feel God wants you to make a change in your life, and you're trying to figure out, well, Lord, I really don't know what I should do. Should I go this direction, or should I go that direction? And in an honest, sincere heart, you really don't know which path to take. Just do right. The Bible says, but the path of the just is as the shining light, look what it says, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. This is what I'll say to do. I'll say, wake up every morning and just strive to do right. Just strive to be honest before God. And I believe as you strive to be honest towards God and you do the things that you know you're supposed to do as a Christian, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're coming to church, you're doing the things that God has you to do, I believe as you do those things, that God's perfect will for your life will unfold like a flower. I believe as sure as I'm standing here. Sure as I'm standing here. You see, God's not the author of confusion. And when you put God first, peace, look over chapter 3 again, look at verse number 17. Look at verse 13 with what I'm saying right here. Proverbs 3, look at verse 13. It's talking about wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Look what it says. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Talk about wisdom now. She is more precious than rubies, and all thing that thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Length of days in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. But look what also that wisdom provides. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Brethren, when you put God first, and you desire to grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, I believe if God leads and directs your life, it'll be a pathway of peace. He will give you a peace about it. And it will be pleasant. And you'll know that this is okay, this is the way that God desires for me to go. So a just man walks in the light of the Word of God. God, I believe, shows light to those that walk justly. You know, it is a joy to the just to exhibit proper and godly judgment. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 15. Proverbs 21, 15. Look at what the Bible says here. Proverbs 21, verse 15. A just man or a just woman, will do judgment. They'll judge. Us as believers, we need to judge. We need to be believers of judgment. Look what it says in Proverbs 21:15. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. You say, preacher, what are you talking about here where it is joy to the just to do judgment? In your own life. Judge your own life. Judge how you walk in your life. Judge yourself. I'm not talking about, brethren, looking around and judging other in place for some situations like that. And I'm not getting at to this morning. I'm talking about, brethren, do you desire this morning to look in the mirror and judge yourself and be honest with yourself this morning? I'm not talking, don't worry about anybody else. I'm asking to brethren, in the spiritual mirror of God's word, and allow God to judge you, and you be willing to be honest with you about where you're really at and not run from it. It is a joy to the just to do judgment. Take your Bible and look at Psalm chapter 25. I'm going to show you I'm trying to pull out the heart of what I'm saying here. I believe this morning that Noah was honest with Noah. To grow in the thing, we have to be willing to be honest with ourselves. We have to not fall prey to wanting to fool and self-deceive ourselves to think that we're more spiritual than we really are. I think a lot of us today, we think we're right where we need to be spiritually, when it could be the farthest thing from the truth. According, measured by what? Not me, but our spirituality ought to be measured of the Lord. And if you're not reading your Bibles, and you're not spending time in Scripture, and you're not coming, you could self-deceive yourself to think you're somewhere actually, when in reality, you're nowhere even near what you think you are. You know, I said it before, I'm thankful God put me on that hospital bed last week. And I pray, my prayer has been these last 2 weeks, God, help me not to lose it. Help me not to lose it, God. Help me not to lose it. God, help me to be willing for you to put me in a place to where I'm willing to strip myself completely clean before you. That's not an easy thing to want to get to because it's narrow. It's very narrow. It's very narrow. Not a lot of Christians want to get to the point to where they're vulnerable. They're too prideful. We're too prideful. We're too confident in what we can do spiritually and realize we can do nothing spiritually outside of Jesus Christ. Look at the heart of David in Psalm chapter 25. Verse number 1. Now, before we read this, brethren, a couple of seconds here. I want to close with this thought in your mind in the Sunday school hour. David, as many of you in here know, David was not born again. David did not have, he was not born again. He did not have the blood of Christ applied to his life, purged by the Holy Spirit of God. God made a new creature in Jesus Christ. Old things pass away, all things become new. David was not converted like we are today. David was not a part of the bride of Christ here. Okay, he's not a part of the bride of Christ. He does not have the new birth. Christ has not gone to the cross, the atonement for sins. But look at the heart of David as an Old Testament saint. And compare, brethren, as we close here, compare David and what is brought out within his heart to you this morning in your spiritual walk with God. Look what David says. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Are you waiting on Christ? Do you have the same heart desire that David is exhibiting here to where David says, let me not be ashamed. Shame transgressed without cause. Look at verse 4. Search me or show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. Look what David says. On thee do I wait all the day. Brethren, this man does not have what we have. Shame on us as Christians if we don't have or go beyond what David says here to where I wait on thee all the day long. We're going to have to stand before God someday and hear David who does not have what we have today, and you cannot find Christians today or very few who are willing to wait and have a heart desire towards God all the day long. To where in their heart they say, God, lead me in thy truth and teach me, dear Lord, for thou art the God of my salvation. Look at verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. Look what David says. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Look what the Bible says. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in. Look what the Bible says in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Look what the Bible says. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Look what the Bible says in verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Take some time this week and go to chapter 25 and realize how many times David says or the word teach is mentioned. I believe, brethren, as we look at Noah this morning and in the next couple weeks or however long it takes, that Noah was a teachable man. Was also a meek man, and he was also a man that feared God. And God saw these things in Noah's life, that he was a just man, that he desired to live an upright life with the light that was given to him at that time. Noah walked in it. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because God. We'll find light, we'll find guidance, we'll find direction, we'll find hope, we'll find satisfaction. We'll find comfort when our heart has a desire to know God, and it's teachable. It's soft. It's supple to God's moldings and God's direction, God's guidance, for God to get us where God desires for us to be. Are you moldable this morning? Or are you just going through the motions? Again, I say, and I realize this going into it this morning, that there's very, very few Christians who are going to want to take hold of what's being said this morning. And as we go into the next Sunday, in the next morning hour service, you know, the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel that God sought for a man. Is there one of you out there this morning that has a desire to even draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to look in the mirror and let God help you be all that God desires for you to be? Are you teachable? Are you moldable? Do you have a desire to be just before God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for this Sunday school hour. Lord, I pray that some of these things made sense, dear God. Lord, I pray you'd stir our hearts. I pray you'd stir the hearts of the members here at Ray Street Baptist Church, dear God. Lord, help us just not to go through the motions. Lord, help us to be willing to look in that mirror. Lord, help us, Lord, to be willing to go through things that you desire for us to go through that would purge us, that would try us, and that would make us be the men and women you desire for us to be as Bible-believing Christians. Lord, help us not to run from it. Lord, help all of us, myself first and foremost, dear God, help me to have a teachable spirit, Lord. Help me, Lord, dear God, to stay humble. Lord, help me to stay humble and meek before you, dear Lord. And Lord, for all of us, dear God, if pride starts to rear its ugly head, dear God, help us to put it to death quickly, Lord. Help us to walk humbly with you, and help us as a church to desire to be just. Help us to walk in integrity. Help us to walk in righteousness and in rectitude of life. Lord, help us to be what you desire for us to be. We pray these things now in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.